300 years before any submarine touched the ocean floor off the coast of Dominica, the Kalinago people had a name for the darkness beneath their fishing grounds. They called it Awali Wari, the water that does not return. European missionaries recorded the phrase in the late 1600s and filed it under superstition. The priests assumed the Kalinago were afraid of the sea. They were not afraid. They were describing a geological phenomenon. In March of 2026, a research expedition completed a six-week survey of deep-sea zones stretching from the waters east of Dominica to the underwater slopes beneath the Grenadine chain. What the expedition recovered confirmed something Caribbean oral traditions have held for three centuries. The ocean floor beneath these islands is not flat sediment. It is a landscape. Mountains rise from it in silence. Towers of coral, gold-tinted under deep-water lighting rigs, stand in formations that took 10,000 years to construct, and in the water columns surrounding those towers, live creatures that no scientific taxonomy has ever named. 12 species, 12 photographs, 12 scientific files that will take years to formally classify. The question no headline thought to ask is the most important one. How, in a sea that European ships first entered in 1492, did none of this get recorded? The Caribbean Sea covers approximately 1 million square miles. Its average depth falls around 8,200 feet. But in several zones, particularly the deep water east of the Leeward Islands and the trench systems running south of Jamaica, the ocean floor descends past 20,000 feet. The Puerto Rico Trench, just north of the Caribbean Basin, is the deepest point in the entire Atlantic Ocean. It has been known to exist for over a century. It has never been fully mapped. European cartographers were charting Caribbean coastlines within decades of Columbus. They had ships, mathematical instruments, the institutional financing of empire, and every material incentive to document what they found. The Spanish crown required navigational accuracy to protect treasure fleets. The British and Dutch East India companies needed reliable routes for cargo. Every shoal, every reef, every harbor depth was plotted, named, argued over, and replotted. They mapped the surface. The deep water stayed blank. The reason is partly technological. No one could descend in 1700, but it is also something else. The colonial enterprise moved laterally. It needed land, port access, plantation acreage, and transatlantic shipping routes. The ocean floor was worthless to a system built on extracting what could be carried to market. And so the deep Caribbean remained unmapped, not unknown, unknown to European science, but entirely familiar to the people who had fished these waters for 5,000 years before Columbus arrived and who had built complete cosmologies around the relationship between surface life and what moved in the dark below. The Kalinago of Dominica called certain zones of deep water Awali Wari. Translated loosely, the current that comes from below and takes what it meets. European missionaries interpreted this as supernatural fear. Later anthropologists classified it as symbolic narrative. A spiritual metaphor, they wrote, a stand-in for death or the unknowable. The 2026 expedition found a thermal upwelling of unusual intensity in that exact zone, superheated water rising from a volcanic seam associated with a previously unmapped seamount that sits approximately 900 meters below the surface. The upwelling is strong enough to affect surface currents for several miles in every direction. Fishermen who worked these waters for generations would have known it as a zone where catches vanished and currents behaved strangely. They named it accurately. The missionaries called it myth. The submersible's first pass over the seamount took 4 hours. The cameras recorded coral towers rising from the flanks of the undersea mountain in slow-growing formations built over geological time. Deep-sea corals grow differently from the bright reef systems tourists photograph in Caribbean shallow water. These corals extend perhaps 1 centimeter per decade, building their calcium carbonate structures across thousands of years in total cold darkness. The iron compounds absorbed over that geological span give them a warm amber tint under artificial light that early expedition reports described as golden. They are not golden. They are ancient. Some of the towers estimated at 10,000 years of continuous growth, which places their formation at the end of the last ice age, when Caribbean sea levels were substantially lower and Kalinago ancestors' predecessors were still navigating the region by outrigger canoe. The biological survey around those towers produced 431 documented organisms across 86 known species, including populations of deepwater fish previously recorded only in Pacific Ocean surveys. Their presence raises fundamental questions about ancient Caribbean ocean connectivity, about migration corridors that predate human civilization, and about what the deep Caribbean basin contains that no government survey has ever reached. And then there are the 12. The 12 organisms that no existing scientific catalog recognizes. One of them was filmed for 37 minutes before it descended beyond camera range. It produces cold light from elongated appendages. The expedition's lead marine biologist described it as without parallel in any Pacific, Atlantic, or Arctic deep-sea catalog reviewed before publication. The footage shows a creature moving in the exact thermal upwelling zone the Kalinago called a Wali Wuri. The Kalinago oral tradition describes a deep-sea being, the Bakua, in closely related Taino tradition of Hispaniola, as an entity that carries cold fire in its limbs and lives in the water below the place where the current changes. The missionaries had a word for this too. They called it heresy. The discovery raises a question that runs deeper than biology. It runs through international maritime law, through the economics of scientific research, and through the history of what gets owned when an institution with a Dutch headquarters and a Netherlands-registered research vessel finds something in the territorial waters of one of the smallest nations in the Western Hemisphere. Under the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, every Caribbean island nation holds sovereign rights over the resources of its exclusive economic zone, a boundary extending 200 nautical miles from its coastline. Within that zone, the nation controls biological resources on and beneath the seabed. The three seamounts documented by the 2026 expedition and the organisms photographed near them fall within zones claimed by Dominica, by the island nation of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and in one case by Martinique, which is French overseas territory and operates under European Union maritime frameworks. The expedition consortium is headquartered in the Netherlands. Its data is stored on servers in Amsterdam. Its publication agreements run through European scientific journals. The footage of the 12 unclassified organisms, including the 37 minutes of the bioluminescent creature in waters that belong by international treaty to Dominica, is currently held under consortium ownership pending formal peer-reviewed publication. Dominica has a population of approximately 72,000 people. Its annual government budget is under $200 million. The expedition consortium's legal department operates with a larger budget than Dominica's entire science ministry. The question of who gets to name these 12 organisms, who writes the Latin taxonomy, whose institutional affiliation appears in the formal classification record, is not a symbolic question. It determines citation history, research funding access, commercial licensing rights for biologically derived compounds, and the scientific narrative of where these creatures came from for the next century. The Kalinago people of Dominica, who number fewer than 3,000 and live primarily in the Carib territory established by the British colonial government in 1903, have been formally requesting inclusion in research conducted in their ancestral fishing grounds for more than two decades. Their territorial waters include the zone directly above the seamount. Their community knowledge, which describes the same thermal upwelling behavior that expedition scientists confirmed with sensor equipment, was compiled and submitted to regional environmental bodies in 2018 and again in 2022. Neither submission influenced where the 2026 expedition targeted its survey. The expedition lead researcher, in a brief post-expedition interview with a Caribbean news outlet, described indigenous Kalinago knowledge as culturally rich and potentially informative for future survey planning. Not a source. Not a confirmed observation that preceded and predicted the expedition's findings by 300 years. Potentially informative. There is a deeper history here that no expedition press release will mention. During the Middle Passage, the forced transatlantic voyage that brought approximately 12 million enslaved Africans to the Caribbean between the 1500s and 1800s, some of those who died aboard ships, were thrown into these same waters. The Caribbean Sea holds not only the undiscovered but the unrecovered. The deep zones being mapped for the first time in 2026 are the same zones that absorbed the weight of the largest forced migration in human history. The coral towers that took 10,000 years to build grew in the dark beneath routes that ran red in a particular kind of silence that the sea kept better than the archives did. The Kalinago oral traditions that describe deep-sea creatures with cold fire in their limbs were recorded by missionaries who also oversaw or benefited from the plantation economy that consumed enslaved bodies. The same colonial record that dismissed Oliwari as superstition maintained meticulous shipping logs of human cargo. One set of knowledge was preserved, the other was filed away. The 2026 expedition will produce scientific papers. The creatures will receive formal scientific names. The seamounts will be designated with coordinates and institutional labels. The footage will eventually be licensed for documentary production, and the images of the golden coral towers will appear in streaming content and school curricula and museum exhibits. The Kalinago fishermen who worked the same water above the same thermal upwelling for 300 years after the missionaries arrived, the ones whose description matched the creature the scientists filmed for 37 minutes, may receive an acknowledgement, a footnote. A line in a paper about ethnobiology and traditional ecological knowledge. The Caribbean Sea held this world in silence for 10,000 years, while the surface above it was fought over, divided, renamed, and extracted. It did not give up its secrets to the ships that crossed it carrying stolen people and stolen goods. It waited. What the findings confirm. 12 nameless creatures, 3 unmapped mountains, golden towers standing in the dark, since before the first human being set foot on a Caribbean island, is that the Caribbean is not a finished place. It has not been fully read. The colonial record assumed it had been. The sea disagreed. Whether the communities whose waters these are, whose ancestors named what moved below long before any institution thought to look, will receive something more than a footnote in the scientific papers, something more than being described as potentially informative, is a question the scientific community has not yet been forced to answer by law, by treaty, or by consequence. That pressure, if it comes, will come from Caribbean nations themselves. And here is the question that the footage raises. Sitting in a data server in Amsterdam right now, if a Kalinago elder had tried to file a formal scientific observation about Oliwari 400 years ago, who would have listened, and what would that mean for who gets to name what is living down there now?